Well, how many of you were here when I shared 2 weeks ago? You probably can't remember whether you were or not. That's all right. I can't either. Was I here? I don't know. Anyway, well, I shared out of the conference that I attend every year in Columbus, Ohio, and some of the rest of you have been there with me, the Association of Covenant Ministries, and I won't go through the names of all these individuals for whom I have a great deal of love and affection, but I wanted to add a few this week, to share with you, because these people are just very dear to me, and they're precious brothers and sisters who are leaders in the body of Christ. And I'm trying to think of who said it. I certainly have said it and believe it, but you really can't trust a leader unless he or she walks with a limp. Walks with a limp. Yeah, and I can honestly say that these men and women walk with a limp. They've been through a lot in their lives, many of them in different ways. Pictured in the upper left there, that's Kevin Davenport on the far left and his wife on the right, Dudley. Yeah, and how many of you remember Cal Hubbard? He's passed away a few years ago. Yeah, well, Dudley, Cal's wife was Lucy, and she also has left us, but Dudley is Lucy's daughter. And they live in Mission Viejo, California. They pastor the church that Robert Grant planted out there quite a few years ago. Kevin's the oldest pastor in our group that's still pastoring. I have the distinction of being the one that's done it the longest. How about that, huh? Whoa, yeah. So I don't want to sound competitive. I think I've done it a year longer than Kevin. So anyway, that's his son below him, Matt, who's been a regular speaker at the conference and does an amazing job. And in the middle there is Dennis Cole and his wife. They live in Ohio near Columbus. Great man who God's given a tremendous inroads into the Muslim world, working with Arabs and Christians and Muslims. It's been an amazing thing that God's done in his life. Upper right is Paul Petrie. Paul's been around for a long time. He and his wife, Rebecca, who's in front of him, they were part of the revival at Asbury in the 60s. They were there, yeah, and powerfully impacted by the Holy Spirit, and that launched them into what God had for them. Back then, God said, you're going to go to the mission field, but it didn't happen until 20 years later. And God took them to Brussels, Belgium. And Paul, when he speaks at the conference, I can't relate to much of what he's saying because it's like at 30,000 feet. He's connecting with leaders of nations, with parliaments all over Europe, with prayer breakfasts and prayer in the congressional assemblies. And it's amazing the doors that God has opened up for this man. And not ironically, but interestingly, his daughter, Suzanne, who's to his right, or excuse me, to his left, our right, her husband is a congressman in Macedonia. Yeah, Macedonia is a nation, in case most of us didn't know that yet. And he is an amazing man. God has used him in some incredible ways in that set of circumstances. You may notice Rebecca is in her wheelchair. She was paralyzed from the neck down as she fell down her steps, bringing a tray of coffee to her guests for a Bible study. And had there not been a nurse present there, she probably would not have survived. She went into cardiac arrest. And she passed away a couple years ago. But to her right and to our left is Josephine, her daughter-in-law, and Philip, her son, and Josephine's husband. And he tells the story. I'm going to tell it very short, but the way he does. He was asked to go. She volunteered to help provide care for his mom. They had a number of caregivers come through and help her over the years. And she volunteered, and she's from Scandinavia. And Philip thought he was going to go to the airport and pick up, like, Big Bertha. You know, is going to come and take care of his mom from Scandinavia, you know, this big Nordic woman, you know, you can imagine. This is the way he tells it. I'm not being rude here. This is the way he tells the story. And so he goes to the airport, And there's this beautiful young woman, and he was smitten. And as the story goes, the rest is history. They were married, and they actually live in Lexington, Kentucky now. And then also living in Kentucky, below them is Steve Hummel and his wife. They live in Florence, Kentucky, if I remember correctly. Anyway, these are just precious, and they've been through some. Their 20-something-year-old son, a few years ago, died. And some of you have lost adult children, but he died of a heart attack. Yeah, and that's so unusual, you know, and is so painful to experience, to say the least. And they've had to walk through those waters together. So just precious, precious men and women. I just love these people. Let me share with you a little bit of the worship here from our time. Thank you, Richard. The worship was enhanced by the fact that the three people on the front row are all worship leaders. The furthest from us is a worship leader in Atlanta, where Jamie Johnson is, the one in the middle in Mission Viejo, California, and the one closest to us, the young lady there in Columbus. And just amazing musicians pulled together from all over to lead us. It's going to end rather abruptly here in a second. You'll see why. Don't you love that when people just walk right in front of your camera? Actually, his name is Randy. Ironically. That's the dude. Wow. Wow. Well, last week I shared the theme of the conference was with you, and Jesus is God with us, God with you, all that God is, all that God purposes, all of God's fullness is with us in Jesus, and we are called to respond, to live a with you life towards God. And I'm just going to quickly go through the main points. God the Father was with Jesus, and Jesus was with the Father in the beginning. And God the Father was with Jesus on earth. I've got scriptures for all of those. God the Father wants to be with you. And God the Father wants to be you to be with Him, what? Forever. And God the Father wants to be with you so much that He has given you a gift. A gift of what? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah. Isn't that great? So this week, I want to pick up on that theme, and I'll probably finish this series next year with one more message. But before I go to that, let me just share with you some fun cartoons I came across in the last couple of weeks. I don't know if you all like the Family Circus. This is a gospel according to Dolly. Some of you know about St. Anthony. He was the saint of what? Lost. Yeah, if you lost things, yeah. You're supposed to pray to him. So it was St. Anthony who said, finders keepers, loser weepers. When God created water, He used everything from H2O. Whoa. And then she says, hallelujah is God's way of saying, hooray. I love Hagar the Horrible. This is a good one. You all can definitely relate to this one. Hagar, my brother, do you have any concept of eternity? No offense, Brother Olaf, but yes, I've dozed through a few of your sermons. Oh, you can say, oh my, or amen. I know. I've seen that sleeping. Wow. Just resting our eyes, right? My mom would, when I was a young, she and my dad would be out like past midnight, and they'd come home, I don't know why she'd do this. She'd come into my room and turn on the light, a ceiling light, you know. Randy, are you awake? You know, and I'd say, no, Mom, I'm just reading the inside of my eyelids. Gosh, I don't know why she did that. Oh, boy. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll try not to put you to sleep this morning, but part two of With You, because God is with us in Jesus, we can learn to live with you towards one another. We are membered, kind of an interesting use of words here, we are membered by Christ's Spirit into his body, learning to do life together with you. Life together with you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for this new day, this new week, this new month, for this season of the year. Emmanuel, God with us as we celebrate the birth of our Messiah and as we enjoy all of the many and various ways in which this month unfolds, the ending of a calendar year and all the many other aspects that make it what it is. Lord, thank you. God, order our steps. Father, direct our pathways. Lord, as we share in your word this morning, open our eyes to your eternal truths, we pray. We thank you for the fact that you gave us your word and that we have it to better understand you and your will for us, both individually and collectively, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul, very beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, he says these words, Paul called out by God's will to be an emissary for Jesus the Anointed, along with brother Sosthenes, thank you, to God's church gathering in the city of Corinth. As people who are united with Jesus the Anointed One, you have been set apart for service. You are called into community to live as saints with all who invoke the name of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed. This is the Voice translation. You're called into community. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. For in the same way that one body has so many different parts, each with different functions, we too, the many, are different parts that form one body in the Anointed One. Each one of us is joined with what? One another. With one another. And we become together what we could not be alone. We become together what we could not be alone. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his famous book, Life Together, says this, Christianity means community through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. Christianity means community. Community. These scriptures, you're going to feel like you put your mouth up to a fire hose when this message is over, okay? There are so many scriptures about us being together with one another. It is amazing. Just walking through Romans, Paul writes saying, show family affection to one another with what? Brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Wow. Outdo one another in showing honor. He says in chapter 12 and verse 16, first part, be in agreement with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. And then he says in chapter 15 and verse 5, now may the God who gives endurance and encouragement allow you to live, how? In harmony with one another, according to the command of Christ. And that's my emphasis. According to the command. What is the command of Christ? To love one another. Yeah, to love one another. He says to live in harmony with one another, loving one another. Loving one another. I have a picture there of a tapestry that happens to be the Lord's Supper. when I came to faith in the summer of 1972, I was just after that transition in my life, dramatic change, I was on an aircraft carrier in the Mediterranean Sea, and we ported in Naples and along the French Riviera, a number of different ports. But they were selling these tapestries, and they were all different kinds. There would be an elk or different things. Well, I bought the Lord's Supper because I'd just come to faith. So I get back to school, haven't seen my classmates since the end of the school year, and there on the wall is this tapestry, the Lord's Supper. Now most of them didn't even pay any attention to it. They're like, oh, that's nice. You know, everybody else got a tapestry. You got, you know, no big deal. And then later they found out about the dynamic change that happened in my life. And they're like, yeah. So, but any tapestry you see, the front part is this beautiful picture. But what's underneath? Just the knots and the threads and everything else. And, you know, I think when we look at our lives together, what we often see are the knots and the threads and the entanglements and everything else. But God is weaving our lives together. And when he looks down, he sees what? This beautiful tapestry. That's what he sees. He sees this beautiful tapestry being woven together. This woman, Elizabeth Sartoris, who is an evolutionary biologist. Now listen to what she says. This is really interesting. Competition in nature exists, but it has limits. And the true law of survival is ultimately cooperation. Contrary to the competitive theme that survival of the fittest connotes, a more accurate description would be survival of the cooperative and the collaborative. Isn't that amazing? I love it when science discovers what God has told us from the very beginning. You know? And so she's saying, yeah, there is an aspect of survival that's important and necessary, but ultimately it's cooperation and collaboration, living together in community. Amazing, huh? So how about some more scriptures about one another? So then, we must pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. Romans chapter 14, Paul's on a roll here. Therefore, accept one another, just as the Messiah also accepted you to the glory of God. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All right, Randy, I was with you. I was tracking with you right along till you got to this one. I don't know about this, you know. I don't want to go up to my brother Bob and greet him with a holy kiss, you know. What does this mean, huh? Yeah, what is that? That's what you were wondering. Bill, what do you think? That's right, Bill. Yeah, thank you, Bill. Yeah, it was practice in his day, and he even said to a Pharisee, you didn't even greet me with a kiss. That's right, Vadim.
I visited Georgia, and I met some Christians.
This is Georgia over near Russia, or Georgia in here?
Georgia in Caucasus, not here.
Yeah, over there, yeah.
The original Georgia.
Yeah, the original Georgia. They still greet one another with a holy kiss. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. In much of the world, this is practiced. That's right, and it's not thought of it the way we think of it. But we can think of it this way, that it's showing love and affection for one another. We hug one another, don't we? Okay, a lot of churches, they don't even do that. You know, it's just, hey, brother. How you doing? It's good to see you this morning. Yeah, okay. You know, and so we greet one another warmly, and you know, so we're, that's essentially what Paul is saying, you know, to greet one another with love. You know, when you see somebody you love, you don't just go up to them and go, "Hi, how you doing? Good to see you today, you know. How's it going?" You know. You wrap your arms around them. You know, you throw yourself into their arms, you know. And this is what he's saying. And again, if we're living this way, it's a natural outgrowth of how we live, isn't it? It's not something you have to think about, something you have to practice. It's something you do. Richard Rohr says this about that. Relationships are our most powerful and reliable 401k. I'm not saying they don't believe in universal health care, Social Security, or other public services, but I do think that Jesus is saying the real security system is how we relate, and I add it with one another, how we love. Wow. How about that, huh? Yes, how we love. And yes, Marguerite.
Maybe rather seat, and she will put the whatever it is over you and give you a hug.
Oh, Marguerite said when you ride with Sue Crook, she'll put the seatbelt on you, and then she'll give you a big hug. All right, Sue. Now we're all going to have to line up to ride with Sue. Everybody's going to ride on a ride with Sue. Yeah, you don't know what we're missing out. Thank you, Marguerite. Yeah. All right. That's good. Well, all those scriptures we looked at were from Romans. Now look at some other ones. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. It's the writer of Hebrews. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. Again, the same thing, the law of Christ, carrying one another's burdens. And then back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Wow. Isn't that amazing? That withness, doing it together with one another. If one member suffers, we've experienced this here in our midst, haven't we? And I for one can say I'm very proud of the way our church has reached out to those who have suffered and those who are in need and those who have needed help. And I think that's something that value that we hold, but it's something that really the church should be doing everywhere, right? I mean, it's not something that should be the exception. It should be what? The rule. Absolutely. You know, and this is what Paul and the other writers in the New Testament are saying to us, that we need to be concerned about one another. We need to carry one another's burdens. We need to, when one suffers, we should all be suffering. When one's honored, we should all rejoice. Yes, Dave. Ah, interesting. Good point. Dave said when the widow put in the last mite, her last mite, and Jesus recognized that and spoke to that, and she lived in a community where the people of her community, the Jewish men and women who lived together in the same community, lived in community, took care of one another. So even though she was giving it away, she knew that she would be cared for, that the community would care for her. Did I say that right, Dave? Did I get it right? Yeah, so that's there. That is cool. Thank you, Bill. That's a good word. That's cool. So, yeah. Henry Nouwen says it this way. The wounds of our individual lives, which seem intolerable when lived alone, become sources of healing when lived as part of a fellowship of mutual care. Wow. Yeah. The wounds of our individual lives, which seem intolerable when lived alone, become sources of healing when lived as part of a fellowship of mutual care. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as God also forgave you in Christ. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom and singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing. Wow. Two things that can help make this real in each of our lives. One is to begin by praying for one another. When you pray for people, you sow them where? You sow them in your hearts, right? When you pray for people, you sow them in your hearts. And that's the place to start, is praying for one another. I've seen people that I've visited with people that I haven't seen in a year, 2 years, even more. And it is as though I just saw them yesterday or a week ago because what? I was praying for them. They're in my heart. And I go to them and say, hey, brother, sister, it's so good to see you. You know, and they say, yeah, it's been like 2 years, 3 years. I said, Just seems like it was a week ago I saw you, you know? And you feel that connection, you feel that compassion, you feel that love for one another that God intends for us. So that's the place that we should start, is by praying for one another. And the other thing is that all of these one another's are overlaid with one word. Love. That's right. Love. All of this is done out of love. Love is the beginning. Love is the end. It's the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the beginning. He's the end. He is love personified. So as we teach and admonish one another, it's done how? With love. Yeah, it's done with love. When we encourage one another and build each other up, it's done with love. Yeah, it's done with love. John Calvin once said this: if we want to be considered members of Christ, let no man be anything for himself, but let us all be whatever we are for the benefit of each other. In other words, for the benefit of one another. That's what God's called for us. Yes. Amen. And so again, this can easily be said almost every Sunday, I'm preaching to the choir, but I feel that very strongly about this congregation. In fact, we renamed ourselves New Heritage Community, because we want to emphasize the aspect of community in our life together. And so we did that intentionally. But you can have that name but not live it out, right? It can just be a name, you know? But I believe that it is being lived out in our midst. But anything like that that's being lived out, can we always do better? Sure, we can always do better. We can always do more. And we can always keep trying to find creative ways to enhance our fellowship. One of the things that we've begun, we started it last July, is every fourth Sunday when we have the Lord's Supper and we share in the Lord's Supper, we have what afterwards? A meal together, yeah. Lunch, oneg. We share together to extend our time of fellowships. We've had seasons of small groups. We're going to be starting them again at the beginning of the new year. And there are many, many and various ways that we can do this with one another. But the bottom line is just thinking of how we can honor and serve one another. You know, what can I do? You know, how can I help this brother? How can I help that sister? How can I help this couple? In what ways can I honor them? Can I serve them? Because as we do that, we're ultimately honoring and serving whom? The Lord. That's right. The Lord. How many of you remember that song from years ago? We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we sing that our unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, we'll know we are Christians by our love. Oh, a lot of you know that song. That was a good one, wasn't it? Well, I've got a treat for you this morning. It's one of the amazing things about technology. How many of you appreciate our worship team? Huh? Let's just show them a little love and honor. Yeah. All right. Well, as good as they are and as grateful as we are, I'm going to bring to you this morning the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Yeah. And they're going to be singing this song with a little twist to it at the end. And I think you'll really enjoy it. Okay. Thank you, Richard. yes. Amen. Wow. That is good stuff. Wow. Well, stand with me, please, and I'll close this in prayer this morning, and then tomorrow we'll come and lead us in the Aaronic benediction. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just reflect on what you've received this morning through God's word, through the voices we just heard. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you that while we were yet sinners, you knew us, you called us, you loved us long before we had the capacity to love you. But Lord, we thank you for your love that you poured out on us, even as the Apostle John wrote, that you loved this world so much that you gave your life for it. Lord, we thank you for the life that you give us, for the example you gave us, for the love that you show us each and every day. And Lord, may we be conduits of your grace, conduits of your love to those around us. Lord, as our focus this morning is within your body, within the community of believers, within the corporate identity of a body of faith, Lord, I pray for that today. In the future, we'll talk about reaching out beyond. But for this purpose, for this morning, Lord, help us to show that love to one another, encouraging, forgiving, helping, caring, thinking, praying, serving, being one with another in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And thank you that you modeled what you're asking us to do, that you don't have expectations for us of that which you yourself did not do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, as we look forward to the remainder of this day and for this week ahead, we pray that you would order our steps, that you direct our pathways, and that you would grant us divine appointments to share that love and that life with the world around us. In Yeshua Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Tomorrow.
Yivarechecha Adonai varishmarecha Yaher Adonai panav alecha vekuneka Yisa Adonai panav alecha ויישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, his shalom. In Yeshua Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Say, if you're here this morning and would like prayer, we'll have a prayer team to my right.